Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is time we go around the AFC North. You love the music. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And our first visit, usually we're picking on these guys last. But our very first visit, we go to pick number 20 in Pittsburgh. 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And joining us is Chris Muller from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris, what are the Steelers going to do at pick number 20?
Seems like, Ken, they're going to pick Duke's Graham Barton as their center of the future and a plug-and-play starter.
Why is that?
I'm not crazy about it. I mean, they don't have a center on the roster. They rightly cut Mason Cole. They pay Nate Herbig $4 million a year to play a swing interior role, but they could have put him in at center at any point last year when Cole was struggling. They didn't do it. And they've tried to say, oh, no, we trust, Nate Herbig if we need him, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it's fooling a whole lot of people. I think that they should have gone out and should have tried to get Mitch Morse in free agency so they didn't have such a glaring need. But I would rather see them not draft scared, basically, and try to fill a need. And I would rather see them, if he's there, take Amarius Mims from Georgia, who I think is going to be the best right tackle in this draft, and then kick Broderick Jones over to left tackle and have some bookends for the next decade. But I think they're going to take Barton from Duke.
What is your situation right now at wide receiver, and why do I keep seeing some rumors from specific Pittsburgh media individuals about Brandon Ayuk?
I mean, I do believe that these specific media individuals are hearing things from sources within the team that the Steelers are interested. I mean, the situation's grim. You know, they traded Deontay Johnson. They said they felt like they got a starting caliber, if you need three corners at all times on the field. Now, a guy who'd be one of their top three from Carolina in that deal, Dante Jackson. But they need help. They don't have anybody after George Pickens. Van Jefferson's not a number two. Quez Watkins is not a number two. Calvin Austin's not even a number three. They need a wide receiver with one of their first three, maybe four picks, a deep class. But they don't have anybody other than a pretty mercurial deep threat who, when he's on, is probably one of the 15 or so best receivers in the league, but is not always on game to game. I personally think that the Ayuk deal, he's a very good receiver, don't get me wrong. And I think he actually is more hidden how good he is by that system in San Francisco than other guys who are seen as system players there. But the idea of having to maybe give up next year's first, pay the guy $30 million over 3 years because that's probably what he's going to want. I'm just not crazy about that for this team because they're running Arthur Smith's offense. It's a running back-based offense. It's never had room for two wide receivers to eat at the same time.
Why do your wide receivers seem to get a little bit out there over time?
I mean, I could say a lot of them do around the league. A.J. Brown does. But then again, A.J. Brown's been a beast in Philadelphia, and they almost won a Super Bowl largely because of him.
Yeah.
The bottom line for me is Antonio Brown was a one-of-one person as far as work ethic, everything else on the field, and then being completely, into the deep end off of it. George Pickens, guys like that, though, I think Mike Tomlin feels like he can take very talented players who might have red flags and get through to them. And I think what's troubling about Pickens last year is nothing Tomlin said got through to him until he put Mason Rudolph in, and the guy actually looked like a competent quarterback, which was the first one of those the team had had all year. So for me, it's if you have a good quarterback, these guys will largely stay in line, but the Steelers haven't had one in a while.
Chris, I'm always curious other cities, how they deal with the draft, and it's been tough in Cleveland without a first-round draft pick here the last few years. But looking back at the Steelers, the highest draft pick you've had in like 40 years is 2000, Plaxico Burress at number 8. How do fans feel about the first round in the NFL draft every year in Pittsburgh?
It's usually a very big deal. I mean, it's heavily covered. It's something that's focused on because for pretty much the entirety of my lifetime, whether it was Tom Donahoe or Kevin Colbert as the general manager, the ethos has been from the ownership box on down, we build through the draft. We don't win free agency or the offseason like other teams do. So usually it gets, there's a hyper fixation on it. But this year has been so different. They completely redo the quarterback room in very rapid succession. They go out and I think actually get a pretty good deal, even though it's about paying for the position on Patrick Queen. It doesn't feel like it normally does here, where if they don't get the first round selection that everybody wants, people are going to freak out because they've done so much of a roster overhaul. But that might be just a this year phenomenon owing to what I just said they did at all these other positions.
Two quick ones. What are the chances you trade up for Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo?
Yeah, Tony Pauline, we had him on the show yesterday. He floated that idea that the Steelers and Eagles are both interested in moving up with Denver at 12. I'd put it at 25% or less. I don't think it's going to happen. I know Tomlin loves Quinyon Mitchell. I think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a very good NFL player, but they have needs at other places, so I kind of hope it doesn't happen.
Who's your favorite quarterback in the draft?
I think Drake May is going to be the best quarterback in this draft. And if we're going for a day three or late day two sleeper, I think Spencer Rattler is going to be a starter for more than 5 years in the NFL.
Well, well. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. There's a man from Oklahoma in this room who probably doesn't agree.
I don't know why we even have him on.
We'll discuss it at a later time. We go to Cincinnati. And James Rapine, where the Bengals have picked number 18. And James Rapine joins us from All Bengals and the Locked On Bengals podcast. James, what are you thinking at 18?
I think trench pick. I think the Bengals are certainly leaning offensive tackle. In a perfect world, one of these top offensive tackles falls. If not, I think they'll eye defensive tackle, especially if Byron Murphy is there. That might be the easiest pick they make. But John Newton in the mix as well. And never rule out a cornerback, because they could eye a corner if the draft falls that way.
Well, you've got five picks in the top 115. What is the expectation for the amount of starters that the Bengals could add to this team?
Well, they don't have a ton of open starting jobs, but they should be able to add a lot of instant impact guys. And even if they don't, like, for example, if they take an offensive tackle at 18, that guy probably isn't starting over Trent Brown at right tackle. He's probably not kicking inside to play guard, but what he can do is back up both tackle spots, and odds are he'll play a decent amount as a rookie the moment there's an injury. So I think that they should be able to find instant impact guys. And to your point, that they might find a corner in round two or three, or a wide receiver in round two or three, with Tyler Boyd and Chidobe Awuzie departing in free agency, that impacts and has an instant impact and does start and does play 1,000 snaps this season, for example.
How much do you guys talk big picture? Because I didn't even realize till Lima just said that. Five picks in the top 115, and like everything's like, well, we got to win now. Well, hold on. If you nail this draft, I mean, Lord Almighty, you will challenge Kansas City. There's no doubt about that.
They need to nail it, because they've lost a lot of talent over the past couple of years in free agency. And even though they've replaced that talent with bodies, like, for example, Geno Stone at safety. Geno Stone's really good. I don't think he's Jesse Bates. And so they've gotten worse in some areas. So they're not the same team that they were when they made a Super Bowl run a few years ago. But could their pass rush be better if they address defensive tackle early? Could their offensive line be the best Joe Burrow's ever had? I think those are realistic things. So, yeah, there is some pressure, though, because you look at the top 100 of this draft, and I do think that there's a lot of talent in areas that they could use it.
I always wonder when teams think they have their franchise quarterback slash elite quarterback, how it impacts drafting all the way around them, whether at times they take things for granted a little bit because of that, because they think they have a quarterback that can elevate other positions. But you're in a situation, though, where your starting quarterback has been really banged up the last few years. Does that change any of the mindset on how you approach the draft?
I think maybe a little, but historically the Bengals have always prioritized, they've taken a lot of offensive tackles early. And so if they take an offensive tackle tomorrow night over, say, a Byron Murphy, it wouldn't shock me because they valued that position more. But I do think they should take that into consideration. And when you look at this draft, it's not just offensive tackle at the top. And I do think it drops. If you don't take one at 18, you're getting a much worse offensive lineman at 49 when they pick in round two. But there's some good interior offensive linemen, maybe at pick 97 or pick 115 in those middle rounds, where they can protect Joe Burrow and still get another weapon with T. Higgins' future unknown with one of their other picks. So they do have the draft ammo to address multiple spots.
All right, sweet baby James, who's your favorite QB in the draft?
I like Jaden Daniels from a fantasy perspective, but I'm not sure how you go against Caleb Williams. There's a reason why he's the number one quarterback on most NFL teams' boards.
Why? What is that reason?
Because he's one of these guys that can go off script. And in today's NFL, if you can go off script and get outside the pocket and make plays, NFL teams are going to bank on that. I think he's the most pro-ready as well. Jaden Daniels from a fantasy perspective is going to be a lot of fun at number two to Washington.
James Rapine, down in Cincinnati, all Bengals, as well as the Locked On Bengals podcast. We go to Baltimore with pick 30. And Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. What are you guys planning to do at pick 30 there?
It's either going to be an offensive lineman, it's going to be a cornerback, or it could be possibly a wide receiver. Not necessarily a major area of need, but Eric DaCosta has followed the Ozzie Newsome philosophy of best player available. And it looks like that wide receiver group could be pretty deep. And then outside, they need a pass rusher. But all the high-end dudes will be gone before the Ravens pick. I know Chop Robinson could be around, started at Maryland, transferred to Penn State. But, you know, they already have a guy from Penn State with limited collegiate production in Adape Owe. So I don't know if they'll revisit that sort of thing. But I would say the biggest need is offensive line.
Is there
tackle in particular.
Is there maybe an anticipated step back, Bob, because of how much you guys have lost during this offseason?
Nah, because, the AFC is tough, as you guys know. Every team in the AFC North is very difficult to contend with. But you have an MVP quarterback. You have two All-Pros on your O-line, one ascending in Linderbaum, one descending in Stanley. Matt Ibike just had a monster year. You got an All-Pro linebacker in Roquan. You have stud safety in Hamilton. You have a future Hall of Fame kicker. In every level, they've got an elite player. So step back, I don't see it happening.
Well, to Ken's point, when you lose, what was it total? Was it 15 players in free 15. Agency?
A whole bunch.
So how is that impacting the draft? Now, you have five top 130 picks, and obviously the Ravens have done a pretty good job finding not just serviceable guys in the draft, but guys that can make an impact. What is your expectation there out of those players?
I would say that he gets the great value in those middle round picks, Eric DaCosta does. And quite frankly, I wouldn't surprise him to be traded down from 30 to add four because they have 2 fourths right now and 2 sevenths. They're going to need a running back because Henry's here and we know what he brings to the equation. But, 30 years old, long in the tooth for a running back, but Keaton Mitchell's not going to be back. I don't think effective when he does return, and that'll be late in the season. So they need someone next to him. Blake Corum could be an interesting pick if he's around in third round because he played high school ball in Baltimore. We know the Harbaugh connection there. I think they'll get that value. Like Trenton Simpson, for instance, third round pick last year out of Clemson, he's going to plug and play in place of Patrick Queen. Brandon Stevens, who's become their top cornerback, he was a third-round pick a couple of years ago. So he usually does get some good value there. But in the first, second round, they're going to have to get guys that are going to have to step in and play almost immediately because the offensive linemen they've taken in the last couple of drafts. Daniel Falele, Sala last year, Ben Cleveland a couple years back. They're not even projected to start now, which is probably not a good sign. And we're talking around these parts about Andrew Voorhees, who was picked in the seventh round last year because he fell because he got hurt at his pro day, coming in and starting, and he hasn't played in over a year, obviously. So, but to your point, DaCosta gets real good value with those middle round picks.
Bob Haney with us. This is off the beaten path. Nothing to do with the draft, but... Do any Ravens fans get a little annoyed that Harbaugh's brother went to not an NFL team but an AFC team and that they've poached former players, they've poached assistant coaches? Does any of that matter to your fans? Do they care?
Nah, that's not really been a talking point at all. And they took Joe Ortiz as well, who's the new GM. With the chart, I mean, they got Gus Edwards and they got J.K. Dobbins. Only I'm a big J.K. Dobbins fan. Unfortunately, he doesn't play a lot. And Gus Edwards was surpassed at the end of the season by Keaton Mitchell as the main back before Mitchell went down against Jacksonville. So I don't think anyone's real concerned about it. Nobody's annoyed with it. It's annoying when they play at whatever point during the season with the buildup and all the hubbub that'll surround that. That's for sure.
Who's your favorite quarterback of the draft?
Caleb Williams. You know, he's from the DMV, which is kind of sorted out. Or had Maryland in his top five, which was never going to happen. You know, he was cool in those Dr. Pepper commercials. I'll go Caleb Williams. But Drake May could be an interesting guy out of North Carolina.
Let's be honest. You have a franchise quarterback. You don't really care, do you?
And we got two-time MVP at quarterback. We're good.
Whoa, Bob!
You got this.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Fantastic end to around the AFC North. Big thanks to Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. They have pick 20 tomorrow night. James Rapine, Locked On Bengals. They have pick 18 in Cincinnati. And Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan down in Baltimore, over in Baltimore, however you want to say it. Pick number 30, where I had Drake May with Chris and Caleb Williams with the other two. To mention those guys coming up here in moments because I watch as much college football as anyone in the city, not named Phil Steele, but because the Browns aren't in the hunt for one, I'm not either. Feel a lot like Bob does. That in Lima's video, it's causing a stir. It's not what you think. Next on the 8:45, I'm not trying to start a war here, but looks like I might restart it. Ooh, I'm nervous to bring that up. Lima, your video is all over the country. I want to get back to these quarterbacks here in a second and what we talked about with Haney, Rapine, and Muller. But your video has, I knew it would take steam. So it was Mo Wagner who went into the seats in game two of the NBA Eastern Conference first round of the playoffs. And you did a close-up, and it was undeniable, as he was getting up, a lady definitely took a little bit of a kick at him. Now, again, it wasn't Shawn Michaels, but took a little bit of a kick at the calf, which is something you cannot do. You cannot do. But a lot of people have picked up. You have been called either a snitch.
Mm-hmm.
She has been said that, or the people have said that she should be banned from basketball for life. Orlando fans have picked up on it. They're upset. I mean, this is the kick heard around the Eastern Conference playoffs. This kick has more attention nationally than the games themselves. Yes.
Oh, Orlando media members calling for the Cavs to do something about this.
They want the Cavs to do something about it.
Yeah, they're tagging the Cavs and saying, you're just going to allow this. Would you like this to happen to Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland or Evan Mobley?
Is that a threat?
I believe it is because they're saying turnabout is fair play.
Wow.
But the fact that it happened here, how would we feel if somebody courtside in Orlando, who would go to a Magic game courtside?
Tiger Woods.
Who else?
Orlando?
Any of the golfers. All the golfers.
Hulk Hogan lives in Tampa. Yeah,
Derek
any of the
Jeter,
game of golfers.
It's close. It's an hour. 45.
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, my God. If Mickey Mouse.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
House.
Ron DeS-
That's if Governor DeSantis would allow him to go to the game. Well, I don't know that he would.
Lima was thinking of his own joke and totally missed mine.
I know.
Okay, sorry.
I knew where you were going.
It's okay.
But either way, I'm just saying that... there are some people, but of course, no one's happy with me because I laughed about it. Because to me, it's funny. It's funny that she kicked him, had nothing on the kick. Like, it would have been one thing had she have taken a sledgehammer to his face. All right, I'm not laughing as much.
That would have been something if she would have carried that with her. She's not.
I'm probably not laughing as much.
Not funny.
No.
Well, do you think something should happen there? I mean.
Well, some people said she was okay to kick him because he ran into her. It's like, no, that's not how this works. Players are allowed to dive into the stands. That's what they have to do.
Well, remember, we had a big argument with somebody sitting in that chair one time about invading personal space, and I'm going, no, you bought a ticket. That's part of the deal. I forget who the hell it was. It was during a playoff series years ago, wasn't it?
If you go to a golf tournament and you get knocked on in the skull with a golf ball, wayward drive, you don't get to go and then fight the golfer.
Didn't Tiger lay low somebody at the Masters a couple of weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of how it... Kind of how it goes.
I think everybody understands if you buy tickets to an NBA game and you are sitting courtside, if players fall into you, you don't get to roughhouse with the players. It's not a lumberjack match wrestling.
Let's wait till they do the Texas strap match.
Well, then all bets are off. And business is about to pick up, King.
I agree with you. Do you give a person like that? They're buying an expensive ticket. Oh, yeah. Somebody bought that ticket.
She's been sitting courtside for a long time.
Okay, do you give a little
well, that's
warning?
A warning, maybe. I wondered, because there are, if you notice, if you've ever had the privilege of having really good seats at Cavs game, you will see, Kenny, we sat in seats, and on the back of the seat in front of us, there was a warning.
I didn't read it.
About behavior? Nobody
Vince Carter
reads it.
Gave me mine, so
no,
that
but yeah,
was
he
it.
Gave you one.
I did not
He gave
read
you a verbal
that.
Warning.
Yes, he did.
But they do outline what you can do and what you can't do.
I did not read it. I did not see that.
Yeah. So, you know, courtside, I bet you it's taped on those seats. So, you know, they know. Plus, if you're a season ticket holder, they know. It can get interesting. Like, can you imagine if he would have had a response? That's why I laughed, because he didn't care. He didn't care that she did it. I don't even think he felt it.
I don't think he noticed.
Yeah.
I really do not think he noticed.
So that's why, to me, it's funny. But it's funny because nothing bad happened.
But I do see where some fans are coming from, because you don't want that. You want to be known as a boisterous, loud crowd. There is a difference in actually putting hands on somebody or making contact with somebody. So, like, while it's like, yeah, I want Cleveland to be a tough place to play, don't get me wrong, I do think there's a difference in today's. I just don't need the 24-hour news cycle, which then becomes the 36-hour news cycle at least, because you're waiting for the next game. I don't need to see all the national punditry going on of saying that, hey, this needs to stop, and it's a Cleveland problem, this, that, and the other. Like we've seen in cities past. You remember the ugliness of what happened in Oklahoma City some years ago. And obviously people bring up the malice in the palace. I think that was obviously a special circumstance. So I guess I could agree with the people who can't stand for this because, I mean, if you're the Cavs, you could always think like, hey, they're courtside seats. It's not like that seat will never be sold again.
Right.
That seat is always going to be filled. There might be leaner years than others, but that seat's
going
to be
filled. Now, I can't speak to the allegations that were out there that apparently, you know, according, again, these are just people that were writing in saying, oh, my God, she's been doing this for years. She's been annoying. She's been she's been standing up. She's been barking at officials, barking at players, and she's become a nuisance. I've been to games lately. So
Jim Cornette was on the sidelines for years. I mean,
well, you remember this will really date us, but back in the day, ESPN used to show at the Washington Bullets game that lawyer that would get those season tickets right behind the opposing bench, and he was known around the NBA as the heckler. He was the heckler.
There was a reason I asked all these guys this question about their quarterbacks in the draft. Have you paid? You watch a lot of college football. You do college football games on TV. Have you felt this, like, I'm trying to get involved with these quarterbacks, and it's got to the point where it's like, I've seen Drake May half a dozen times. I saw Caleb Williams almost his full season. I saw Jaden Daniels, obviously. I saw a ton of him. Like, I've seen a lot of these guys. J.J. McCarthy, I saw 11 times during the regular season, that is. I saw him over a dozen times altogether, obviously. Is there a strong opinion you have, not just like, I would want one of these guys, but it's like, do you have a strong opinion against? Because the Browns not having a dog in the fight, not having a first-round pick is one thing, but not needing a quarterback, it's really taken away a lot of the focus that I would have of going, let me find what's wrong 100%. With this guy.
Although the last time I really dialed in on a quarterback, it led me to Josh Rosen. So sometimes...
Doesn't mean you can't dial in again. Yeah, that's the fun of this
sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes it's paralysis.
He missed it.
Oh, bit in a big way. Is that worse than Anthony Bennett? Sometimes it's just paralysis by, you know, overanalysis. That's what happens in these situations. You keep watching guys. You're looking for something different. Like Michael Penix Jr., for instance. You know, he's somebody that I follow for a long time. He's played forever. How old is he now? But he played for Indiana. So obviously I saw him against Ohio State. I was amazed at his gains over time, his evolution. And had that game, had the national championship game not happen against Michigan, I'd be sitting there going, how is Michael Penix Jr. not right there behind Caleb Williams? And then you saw, oh, wait a second, when he's forced to throw from the pocket. He can't do it. Well, he physically couldn't do it.
With Michael
Penix. I know it's only one game, but
yeah, but
college and the NFL, they're so different. Schlereth talked about this yesterday on Afternoon Drive on how in these college offenses, and they did not run a college offense at Michigan. They were running a pro offense. But a lot of these offenses, four wide receivers, when is that ever going to happen in the pros? They're basically having one read situations or maybe two at most in most of these. So it's almost impossible to look at games. We love watching games, but those games have nothing to do with what the NFL is going to look
but
like.
But it's hard for me. Like, there's been times where I planted my flag against you in the Josh Rosen debate, and I said, no, absolutely not for reasons X, Y, and Z. Dustin really fixed my wagon on Baker right before they took Baker a few months before, about January at that time. And then, obviously, they had taken Baker later on. But I was one of the ones who going, well, he's shaking his garbage at Kansas. What are we doing here? Because I don't like bravado just for the sense of bravado for a lot of ways. But I find myself being very hesitant to give reasons why I wouldn't take a guy. Like Drake May. I've seen Drake May. All right, where's the elevation? Where's the elevation of UNC? They started off well. Things obviously changed. But it's hard to sit there and look at Drake May and not turn that into an evaluation of the entire offense because the offensive line was garbage. So do I use that against Drake May? Again, people are looking at Caleb Williams, looking for reasons to knock him down from the number one pick because we're looking for things to talk about. And so they go back to him crying in his mom's arms. Well, hold on. They put the world on his shoulders. He didn't have any real weapons to throw to. He did not have a good defense whatsoever. I mean, they brought in a guy and fired him after 1 year with their defense. And there was a lot of pressure. And I think, well, that's going against him. And I got to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But obviously, there's going to be a lot of pressure when he goes to the Chicago Bears, because they haven't had a quarterback in 80 years. And the game was a lot different. For J.J. McCarthy, yeah, I find myself a little bit defensive. Don't say the reason why. That's not true, what you're about to say. With J.J. McCarthy, it's like, what's he doing on third and long? He's throwing guys who are open on third and long, not third and five, or not third and long and throwing it 5 yards and hoping you get yards after catch. There's the interviews that I've seen that I don't think it's a false moxie. I don't think it's a false bravado. I think it's respectful.
I hate this. I totally agree with you.
There you go.
I have been warming up to, of all people, a Michigan quarterback. And I said during the season against Penn State, remember, that was the biggest game to that point. Harbaugh was suspended. He was watching in the hotel room. And I said after that game, yeah, boy, they have a lot of faith in J.J. McCarthy. He threw the ball like no times in the second half. Well, clearly, against Ohio State and in the playoffs on big third downs, they had faith in him, and he came through every single time.
And there are places, I'll say this real quickly, there's places that historically I would not want these guys to go to that maybe I'm warming up to. You know, Dan Quinn in Washington. Washington, I would think, would be a graveyard. Older coach, experienced coach, defensive guy, but he has an experienced staff on offense. He has experienced coaches on offense. Could he be taken care of with an organization that has been a train wreck over the last decade plus? You know, these are things that I have to keep reevaluating, and it's harder and harder to do that evaluation because we have another first-round pick in 3 years. Coming up at 9:40, Mitch, please. And next, I'm not trying to start a war here, but Baker was not a miss. They're already lining up. I did not try to start a fight, you guys. I'm not trying to start this. So Adam Schefter put out something here. It says ESPN content producer Paul Hembo calculated the percentage of first-round picks that are hit or miss based on upon whether the player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. The data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning 2000 through 2019, and then he's got the positional hit rates. Total drafted in the first-round centers, 92% hit rates, meaning they get the second contract. But there's only been 12. There have been 104 edge rushers picked in the first round. They have a 44% hit rate. QBs just above it at 46%. There's been 56 taken in the first round, all right? The lowest, by the way, wide receiver, 27%, hit 21 hits, 56 misses, good for 27%. Again, 77 total.
That one stunned me, by the way, with all the amazing wide receivers.
It really was. It was really surprising. I thought this was just something Mitch added, and we kind of percolated on it for a while, and then you said that there were people saying that, well, Baker was a miss. And I went, well, Baker is maybe a miss with the Browns. I don't think he was a miss overall.
Well, yeah, this part of this tweet from Hembo through Adam Schefter at ESPN said they were basing the whole calculation on whether or not a player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. Obviously, we know Baker has now signed multiple deals after
he was in Cleveland. Okay, those were like one-off deals. Now he signed a second contract.
Sure. So he did not sign a second contract in Cleveland. So for John Dorsey, as a Cleveland Browns executive, does that go down as a hit or a miss?
I think John Dorsey probably would. Do you think John Dorsey would have handled things differently if he were still in charge of the Browns during the 2021 season?
How so?
Would he, if John Dorsey were here, would Baker Mayfield feel that he would have to play the way with a hurt shoulder, and would the Browns put him to the task of play? Because there's shared blame in everything.
Yeah.
One hand washes the other here, guys. So if you have these guys, if John Dorsey's still here, does Baker Mayfield feel he needs to play with a hurt wing? Nope. Owen's shaking his head like not a chance he would feel that way. So why would he be, if we're looking back on that and we agree on that, then why would he be a miss? This is a chart. I'm not ripping this guy for his chart. It's superficial to some degree, obviously.
You have some way to evaluate hits and misses, and he did it the easiest, least amount of heavy lifting way, which is to just say if you signed a second contract.
And that's perfectly fine.
Obviously, there's going to be a ton of nuance there.
This is germane to Baker. I'm not trying to start a fight here, but I don't think he was a miss.
Yeah, so he's 40 and 46 as a starter.
Well, you're counting QB wins now.
NFL quarterback. Well, I don't know what way you would go about it. Like, if Baker has a bad year, and that's the way his contract is structured, isn't it really just a one-year situation again? I know what the big terms of the deal
are. Still have a lot of money to give for one year. I don't know how he can have a terrible year. The AFC South is still going to be, I think, the AFC South. Mm-hmm. And he's got weapons. NFC South still the NFC South. And he's got weapons. He's got guys to throw to. So I don't...
He had a very nice year last year.
Yeah, I don't think that...
I think you have to look at more than just would he have gotten the second contract or didn't get the second contract. You've also lost three first-round draft picks because they chose to make a decision to go away from him. Because so it's almost, he didn't do enough. Yeah.
So the Browns' decision made it a miss for them.
Yes.
Because once you moved on from Baker, you were using all your draft capital.
Okay, that's fine, but I'm not saying Baker
was
a miss. It's
not Baker's fault he's a miss, but he's a miss.
Now I'm going to get called a Baker bro by everybody and God because on the internet. Like but one. I'm not acting like a Baker bro. I'm just struggling. I'm trying to be honest
I'm
and reasonable here
before
with quarterbacks.
Before you made your case, I was going to be outspoken that it was a miss, and I went over why. They obviously didn't sign that second contract here, wasn't good enough, didn't seem like somebody who was going to get the Browns past Joe Burrow, past Lamar Jackson, past Patrick, although nobody can get past Patrick Mahomes, looks like, except maybe Joe Burrow. Or Josh Allen. Like he had, to me, a definitive limited ceiling. And when you take a guy number one overall, you're not supposed to have a very definitive limited ceiling.
Okay, but he does. But I don't think that that is
so
a...
So is he... for me, for the sake of how I'm arguing it, if he would have been taken 22nd overall like all those other Browns quarterbacks, would it be different?
Kirk Cousins is a fourth-round pick. I need to think of somebody else.
Well, Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy's a seventh round pick, but you would talk about limitations. Like you would say that Brock Purdy has some limitations.
He does.
But obviously he's a seventh round pick. So it doesn't compute there. Who's a first round pick who's kind of beating around and doing well? Like not like Josh Allen obviously can be a big time QB.
Not anymore. But at the time, Tannehill, I mean, Tannehill is very comparable.
You know what? I wouldn't say Tannehill was a miss. Like, he doesn't have – he's not going to have a legendary career, I mean, not by a long shot.
He made an AFC championship game,
too.
Yeah.
So you got to take care of him. You got to take care of Baker. He has limitations. Baker has limitations. I think that no, one's taller than the other.
It was not the team that drafted
him. Exactly. And one's taller than the other. The team that drafted him had to give up on him. But I think you're exactly – I think that's a great comparison between the quarterbacks and their careers. But I wouldn't say that Ryan Tannehill, who's probably – who would be on this list as a miss then, because he didn't get a contract from the Dolphins – and it's been since 2000. He would definitely be listed as a miss here. I don't think he's a miss in the NFL.
How do we feel about Tua, who is the fifth overall pick?
I think that this is a critical year for him.
But I think the miss is more on the team than it is on the player. I think all these are on the team.
Is Kyler Murray?
If the player's bad, he's a bust. He's not a miss.
All right, who's a bigger miss right now, Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield?
I think it's Kyler Murray.
And I think
he signed a second contract.
And I think Kyler Murray's ceiling, I still think his ceiling's higher than Baker's. I've seen him do more special things, but he's also his floor has been atrocious.
I think his ceiling is like that hallway in Willy Wonka. 216-474-0092. You guys know I've never really thought much of Kyler Murray. And the video game stuff and all that stuff, I'm just sitting there going, yep. Mm-hmm. Like, great. He's got talent. I know he's a good athlete. I guess it's a good decision he didn't go with the A's. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
So he done a hell of a job there. I don't know if he'd be taken care of organizationally if he would have went with the A's. All right, we got people here. We'll get to you guys. 216-474-0092. What is a miss? This is going to just turn into a Baker war, and I don't want it to do that.
But I'm curious now. We have more perspective now. We've seen it play out. We've seen what he's done elsewhere in a few different teams. You used to never get to do that.
No.
If a guy didn't make it, it was it.
That's it.
Now, well, look at Zach Wilson just got traded for
Thank you. You took it right away from him because I'm going, I don't think Zach Wilson's anything. I think Zach
I
is a
either.
Miss.
Yeah.
But there are people going, Denver's going to get him right. I'm going, okie dokie.
Yeah, good luck, right?
Mitch, please, 940, and you guys, and no one congratulates you for going to work. No one congratulates you for getting up in the morning. Why should I congratulate them for doing what they're supposed to do? Who are they? You'll find out in the 9 o'clock hour next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.